This morning for our scripture reading, we turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Here we have the account of the angel Gabriel, sent by God to Mary to give her a humanly impossible message. For she was favored by God to give birth to the Son of God. I read from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Having read the inspired word of God, including the last line of the message that Gabriel shared with Mary, and continues to speak to us into our lives, that message is, for nothing will be impossible with God. Let us now hear the sermon message titled, "An Impossible Christmas."
What is the most spectacular thing that has ever happened to you? What in your life has happened that is hard to express to other people what God did for you one day in your life? Something happened in your life that you like to tell it, but sometimes you're maybe a little bit of afraid to tell it because it's, well, number one, it means more to you than it does other people because it happened to you. Number two, it's just a little bit impossible. When I came here 6 years ago, it's been 6 years ago, I came here on Christmas, just before Christmas, and I preached. And maybe at that point you remember something that I said, maybe a testimony that I gave. I don't remember all of what I said. But part of my testimony was that on October 14th, 2006, my wife and I attended church. And on that day, they commissioned us to go to the field. And you remember we went to the Native Reservation field. That was where we first ministered for the Lord together. And all the things that led up to that was a miracle in itself, and I can give you all that. For instance, my wife and I went on a fish mission trip, and we knew we were going to go, and we said, "Let's not tell anybody." So she told her, except for her sister and my brother, and then we got back on Saturday, and then that Monday night, the men's were having a group, and the pastor, who didn't know anything, sat in front of me and said, looked around the table and said, "Okay, who's going to Parker on the mission trip? Who's going to Parker to be the pastor there?" He knew somebody was going. And I looked at my brother. And he looked at me and he said, well, tell him. So I told him, I can tell you that story. Sonia can tell you that story. It was a miracle in itself. Or how about that afternoon, the 14th of October, when after the service, a good preaching message, Sonia and I were called up and prayed over and commissioned to go. And then I had just rented a truck, and the truck cost me $1,225 to take to Parker. They took up an offering. It came up to $1,250. They didn't know how much I gave. And then right after the service, when we're standing up front or sitting up front, a man in the back who nobody had ever met, from Idaho, he had never been to that church. I can give you witnesses to this day, Darlene Barr, her husband has since passed. Two couples are sitting in the back. And he stands up and says, well, we've been listening to all this. Now I have to tell you that we've been going to that very same church for the last 3 years to try to build a sanctuary, and we had said we're never going back because of the problems that they have had. And he said right after this service, I'm going to call my boss, and we'll be back for the next fall. And 2 years later, they had the sanctuary built. We had never met those two couples before. What's the most spectacular thing that's ever happened in your life? That's just two in one day. The odds are crazy. Jesus fulfilled, some say, 353 prophecies at his first coming. At his very first coming, when he lived on the planet for 33 years, he filled at least 350 prophecies. Which prophecy made this Christmas impossible? Which one? Let's talk about his life in general. He enters on a donkey on the very day that Daniel said he would. Well, to enter on a donkey is into Jerusalem is just a 1 in 100. But how about on the very day? You can't calculate it. Or he kept silent before his shears. Some say 1 in 1,000. Or he was crucified. That's 1 in 10,000. He was betrayed by a friend according to Psalms 41. That's 1 in 1,000. I don't know how they calculate that. He used the money to buy the potter's field. Judas did. That's 1 in 100,000. I don't know how they calculate that. But that's the odds that I find. Born in Bethlehem, according to Micah 5 and Matthew 2, 1 in 280,000. He had a forerunner. 1 in 1,000. He had a forerunner born 6 months prior to him. You calculate that one. He had a forerunner born 6 months before him, who was a cousin. You can't calculate it. How about a combination? The probabilities have been said that it is something like that to fulfill 8 prophecies. Somebody once said that, it's 1 in a trillion. And if you cover Texas with silver dollars, it would take a trillion of them. And then one nerdy Christian, really, we do have those. He really got into it. He said, I'm a science guy, and I'm a math guy, and I really like this stuff. So he calculated the acres. He calculated the square miles, 269,000 square miles and 172,000 acres. And if you cover Texas with 2 feet of silver dollars. It used to be said a trillion, and he calculated and said, oh no, he calculated the centimeters of the thickness of the silver dollar and all of this stuff. And came up and said, no, you have to you have to times that by at least four. 422 trillion coins. But he said, you guys have been doing one thick, now you got to do it like times 203.5. And you come up with this number, which I, you know, what do you do with that number? You see, this is absolutely an impossible Christmas. It is beyond, in human terms, ridiculous. It is beyond explanation. It is so much harder to tell this story in human terms than it is the one I just told you about Parker on a certain day and a certain year. This means that 1 to the 8.63 quadrillion probability that you blind a person, he walks across the state of Texas, taking whatever route or whatever time, and he reaches down and picks up the very dollar that's marked with an X. And he only gets one chance. And if you gave that probability to all the people of the world, all the people of the world would have to go through Texas a million times. And you only get the right person picking up the right time. Well, some people would say, well, that's still doable, isn't it? I mean, you're putting probabilities on it, and they're impossible probabilities, but they're still doable. I mean, somebody could walk up to Jerusalem and walk and drive through the gate on a donkey, right? Those things aren't impossible. They're just ridiculous to try to calculate. They're doable. Well, okay. So he was rejected by his friends, the Jews, in Isaiah 53. He was cut off. As Daniel 9 said, he had no kids. As Hebrews 7 said, Isaiah 32, he was from the tribe of Judah, according to Genesis 49. He was tried twice. He was beat twice. He was spit on. Now, all according to Scripture, Micah 5 and Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 50 and Mark 15 And then the garments were divided according to Psalm 22, and the bones were not broken according to Numbers 9. And then he was buried in a rich man's tomb right next to a poor man's cemetery. They're still probable, right? It's just the combination that makes it impossible, right? I mean, we could calculate, we could some again, and just sit aside and try to calculate all this stuff and come up with some kind of probability. But it's ridiculous. It is beyond our imagination to even try to calculate. We don't even want to calculate. What do you want to do with it? Well, we just want to believe. We just want to take the crucifixion and the betrayal by a man and his friend, and we want to meditate on just one or two or three of those, and that'll get me through the month. And then we want to add a couple more, and we'll get through the year, because there's just too many of these. That this is why the natural person looks at the scripture and looks at you like you're crazy. Like, who do you think you are, and how can we believe such a story? That he was an offering for sin, according to Isaiah 53, and he suffered as a sinner and without sin, which seems impossible in itself, according to Isaiah 53 and other places. Or how about these? Let's change tact a little bit here. Let's change the odds a little bit. His aunt and uncle are Elizabeth and Zechariah. They're from the tribe of Aaron, both of them. Well, that makes him a priest. His mom and his dad are from, dad in the natural sense, adopted, if you would say, are from the line of David. That makes him a king. But Deuteronomy 2 says that he will be like Moses, and so that makes him a prophet. So he's a prophet, a priest, and a king, according to the prophecies, and according to his natural birth and his spiritual line. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that everything has been placed under his feet. He actually is the all in all. Well, let's carry it a little further. What are the meanings of these names? Well, Raymond, you're getting a little ridiculous. Isn't the gospel a little ridiculous? So, what are the meaning of these names? I didn't make this up. I looked these up again. I heard them and thought, well, let's just talk about the meanings of Zechariah. What does Zechariah mean? It means Yahweh remembers. Elizabeth means his oath. John's is God is gracious. Mary is beloved. Joseph, may he add or increase. Jesus, you know Jesus, Yahweh saves, or is salvation. You put them together, and you get Yahweh remembers his oath to his beloved. By his grace, he adds salvation. Raymond, you're making that up. I didn't make up the meanings of those names. I didn't tell Gabriel to tell Zechariah his name will be John. No, wait a minute. And then he was rebuked for it. You know, who names his son John? Your name is Zechariah. He's got to be named after you. No, Gabriel said, no, you're going to name him a particular thing. And Mary, by the way, you're going to name him Jesus. Well, this is interesting because God has a plan. And he adds salvation. If you go back to Genesis, you know the names that run through from Adam to Noah. Have you ever seen those? You ever seen the meanings of those names and what they mean? Man is appointed moral soul, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring despair and comfort. See, it's beyond calculable. It's beyond what any man can even write. Matthew did not sit down with Moses and say, hey, let me make sure you get Genesis 1 right. Because it's gonna, you know, we're gonna carry it through Matthew and we're gonna carry it through John. It's impossible. That's what makes it, number one, wonderful. And number two, so very helpful. Because if men can do this, if men can figure this out, like global warming and, you know, how we're going to stop the earthquake problems and the famines on the planet, if we can figure this out, we can be saved, right? No, the Lord says those things will never be figured out until I come. You can't figure those out. And let me tell you why. You can't figure out Genesis 1. You can't put a number on it. You can't do it. He was born of a virgin. There's no probability of that. He was tempted by Satan personally in the desert. You can't put a number on that. He had his own star. You can't put a number on that. He was 100% God and 100% man. Can we put numbers on those things? He had no children, and yet we are his spiritual seed. I can give you all the text for these if you want. I can rattle them off. But we can't even remember them, let alone figure it out. He was raised from the dead. Anybody got a number for that? He sits at the right hand of God. We can't figure this out. We're even afraid to tell the story.
Did you hear all the numbers that Raymond rattled off this morning? Did you hear all the things that the pastor at the pulpit listed this morning? Let me tell you about that list. Isaiah 53:1, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant. The arm of the Lord means his strength. Whatever came about in the scriptures, everything. And he says he brings calamity. Everything is by the Lord. He brings it for redemption and reconciliation of those who are afraid to be judged. And he brings salvation for the humble and the weak and the poor and the needy. Lord, I am poor and needy, and I need you. But Lord, like the woman at the well again, you're the water's deep and you have no bucket. Oh, man, if you knew who you were talking to. It's beyond comprehension. But it is very worth telling, because it is the salvation that we've come to. And except that we are full of grace and that the Lord has changed our hearts. If the Lord has changed your heart, you're not only able to tell this story, but you're willing. You love your friends and you love your family, and let me tell you about Christmas. That's why we read the Christmas story under the tree. About the baby born in the manger, and the angels come and shout to the shepherds, and there's glory in heaven. It's you can't put that scene in your living room, but you can sure put it in your imagination, because it's in the scriptures. You can read that to your children and your grandchildren, and you say, just believe it, Lord. What a wonderful imagination that you've given us. What a wonderful narrative of truth that you have allowed us to see with the spiritual eye. I can see it because I believe. I believe. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one." That right there also is impossible. And yet the Lord said, you're it. You're the one that's going to bear this son. "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the sayings and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She's trying to discern what is going on, because that's what we do. I mean, in our natural sense, there's somebody standing before me who's dressed in glory, and he's talking to me like I'm favored from God, and wow, okay, this is, who am I going to tell this to, right? And she believed, by the way. She's going to question, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus," because it means salvation. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And so Mary says, "And how will this be, since I'm a virgin?" She wasn't saying, like Zechariah, remember, Zechariah didn't believe. So, well, you're still the one, Zechariah, and you're going to go have a son, but because you didn't believe, you're going to be quiet for a little while. He couldn't talk until the birth. And what was his first? He wrote, his name will be John, according to the word. But Mary believed. She just didn't understand it. She's like, wait a minute, Gabriel, hey, talk to me about this. I'm a virgin. And so how's this going to happen? Well, it's going to happen like Mary, for her son and with her son, and his dad, Joseph, just like it happened to you and me. Did you know that you were born again? Now, remember, we're not God incarnate. We're not Jesus coming down from heaven. But we are heirs
and co-heirs with Christ because we're born again, because the shadow of the Almighty has come over you. Did you see what the song said this morning? Did you see what the song said that Roger put up? He's going to change our chaos from darkness. That's what he's done. The Holy Spirit has overshadowed you. Chance, could you stop, please? The Holy Spirit has overshadowed you. And you're born again. You're new. And he has given you the power to become children of God. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be called impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I'm your servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You remember last week we talked about lights and we talked about Genesis 1, how the Holy Spirit was in over the darkness. The light of God hovered over the vast waves of darkness on the planet as it was void, like you and me, like her womb, like the womb of Elizabeth, like the womb of Sarah. Now, in different ways, because Jesus' father is in heaven. But Sarai and Rachel and Leah still couldn't have children. They were barren. And you and I still can't get to heaven because we're barren of the Spirit. And so he has overshadowed you. And if you have his Spirit as a guarantee of your salvation, you are born again. And your chaos is over. It's gone. Like I said, last week we talked about lights. And Jeremiah 32 says, "O Lord God, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Mary, did you know that he would walk on the water? That he would calm the storm with his hand? That he would deliver you, Mary, and those who are his? This is why I love Bob. I said it loud enough so he could hear it. Because he gets up here and he tells the truth from the scriptures. That Jesus Christ died for everybody. The only thing we have to do is believe. Believe in Genesis 1 and believe in Luke chapter 1 that the Spirit of the Almighty, if he hovers over anything, whatever door he opens, no man can shut. It's going to happen. And he's opened your heart to the light of the gospel. And it's come in and he's done the impossible. He's done the thing that no man can tell. He's done the thing that no man can figure out. He's done the thing that is impossible. Is anything, Genesis 18, 14, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you in about a year, and Sarah will have a son. And that son was the type of Jesus Christ. They should have saw it coming, because Sarah was barren. They should have saw it coming, because Abraham was an idolater and wasn't worth saving to any man. He was only worth saving to God. That's the story. And folks, the people who hear that in their hearts, isn't that why we reached out to Jesus Christ in the first place? Or, by the way, he reached out to us first. Isn't that why we responded? Because there is no other way. I can't pay for it. I can't do enough work. I can't kill myself and be a martyr for him.
and can't happen. It has to be that he said, I have died for the whole world. Just believe it. Just come and believe. Turn on the light and come and believe. 350 prophecies. There are approximately 2,000, who knows how many really, prophecies. Some of the messianic prophecies, some of the things that David wrote are still trying to be figured out. Was he talking about himself or was he talking about Jesus Christ? Both. At least 2,000 prophecies. 27% of the Bible. That's why prophecy is important. There's approximately 500 more to come between the now and the millennium. Actually, between now and the end of the millennium. About 500. What are the probabilities of a rapture? Let's not calculate these 500. Let's just talk about one. What are the probabilities of a resurrection of your soul? Oh, they're simple. It's a simple odd. It's 100%.
Amen.
It's going to happen. And all he wants from you is your heart, your faith, your belief. And like Roger again sang this morning, the first song, I think it was, your joy. Let your joy be complete. Let this joy be in you that was in Jesus Christ. That's what I want. And you know it's that joy that's going to allow you to tell this impossible story. You're not going to be able to contain it. You're going to tell your sons, you're going to tell your daughters, you're going to tell your grandkids because it's in you and your heart isn't the same. It's like, you know, this is who I am. Yes, I may do some other work and I have to work for a living, but this is who I am and this is the hope that is in me. Let me tell you about it. It's going to be impossible. Don't try to figure it out. Don't put any odds on this, okay? Just believe. Just believe. Lord God, we honor you. This is not an impossible Christmas. This is the impossible Christmas. It is beyond calculation. It is beyond our imagination in human terms. It is beyond what any set of writers and poets can put to paper. It cannot be done. But it has been done. Because when the rich man came to you for salvation and he couldn't be saved because of his good work, your disciples asked you, how then can it be done? And you told them, Genesis 1:1. With God, all things are possible. Your Holy Spirit has hovered over our hearts. I pray that in 2020, come what may, come harbor anger against you, the prognosticators of doom. Lord, come with me. I pray that our hearts will be so full of joy that we will, the first words that come out of our mouth is, have you heard Luke chapter 1? And Luke chapter 1 is because of Genesis chapter 1. We love you, Lord. We're so grateful that you have poured into our heart the light of the gospel and the light of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will increase our joy this coming year as we look to you for our continued hope. In Jesus' name.